Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of Ezra, chapter 5. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Our flesh works in cahoots with these governors. Does that make sense? I hope not to insult my flesh, your flesh, all of our flesh. Our flesh wants to co-sign, don't have to go to church. Our flesh wants to co-sign, don't need to go to prayer, we got this. Our flesh wants to say, we can watch it on TV, to all of you watching on TV. Think about that. Your flesh and my flesh will co-sign with these governors all day and all night. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The spirit says, oh no, I need to draw closer to God. I need more church, not less. Amen. I'm in the business my calling is that to encourage and to reiterate and to constantly remind the church. Paul said it, Peter said it, to keep doing good works. Because our flesh will say, no, I'm good. It's enough for me just every now and then. I'm good with God. I've heard it all. I've heard all of the excuses. All of the excuses why people pull away from church, pull away from serving, pull away from fellowship. The big one is work, and we can all understand work because we have to make a living, right? I'm so blessed that I worked 30 years in a secular job. 20 years with Caltrans and whatever else I did before Caltrans, I did. And then as a pastor, as a senior pastor, I worked 10 years bivocational. That means I drove from Fontana down to Banning on a Wednesday night, pouring water on my head, and then coming to teach a Wednesday night, then doing it on Sundays for 10 years, two jobs. And I'm an unprofitable servant. It's not like the church blessed me with enough pay that I was able to leave my work. I couldn't take care of my family with what the church could provide. It didn't matter. I'll serve the Lord for free. I owe him forever for free. And there's people out there who just think, oh, you know what I mean? I got to get paid. I got to get paid to serve the Lord. And their attitude stinks and it's terrible. It's like, if God can provide, fine, it's cool. And eventually that happened for me and I left Caltrans and woo. Now I can full-time dedicated to caring for his church. So I have compassion for the whole, I gotta work. But I want to appeal to those who don't even try. I'm appealing to those who don't even. Jesus said, knock and it will be open for you. Seek and you shall find. The door will be open. We're told in scriptures that God can turn the king's heart like the rivers of water in whatever direction he wants to. There are very mature Christians in knowledge, and they ignore bringing that knowledge that God can change your work, your schedule, your everything so that you're at church on Wednesday night. My appeal is to those who don't even try. This is my boss's schedule. He needs to fill spaces, and we get that, we understand. And then they co-sign it. I cannot come on Wednesdays. I cannot come to prayer night because I work. It's like, yeah, but the problem is you're dealing with faith. And you're dealing with the King of Kings and the creator of the whole universe. He can absolutely change your schedule. Show me, I appeal to those who don't even try, show me your connect card with your name on it, with So-and-so who can't be here on Wednesdays needs prayer for his boss. His boss's name, so-and-so, that the schedule would change so that they can be. You know why it's not here? Because they don't want to be here. Woo! But that's what happens when you go on a mission trip. You remember who you are in the Lord. You remember the struggles. You remember, yeah, don't tell me you can't be here. I understand you can't be here, but why aren't we praying that you're here? Because why? Why? Who's bigger, your boss or God? Who wants you to be here, God or your boss? Now, the sad thing is it's in our text. You have heathenish kings saying, whatever God needs, provide for it. Provide for him. And sometimes heathens understand how important the church is. It's like, you know, the heathens who don't want to follow God, but they're like, I think it'll be better for society if you guys do your thing. Here's thousands of dollars. We'll pitch in. Wow. And we who love Christ, it's like, oh. And so we see what Haggai says. He says, like, basically everything positive that they would have wanted for their own lives. They want the work of their hands to be blessed. When they plow a field and it rains and they seed it, they do what they have to do in that agricultural society. They want to harvest. They want it to rain. They want God to bless. They want, as a family, to enjoy the work of their hands, eat it with their children, with their wives, with their husbands. They want to be blessed. No doubt. And God tells them, yeah, but I'm making sure you are not blessed. Why? Because my house is avoided. God's people are avoided by you. And we cannot play games with Jesus. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you to do? I've had terrible bosses and terrible schedules. I worked for Caltrans. I was the lowest guy in the totem pole as a dispatch clerk. And you know what? I had to make it work. I did what I did. I tried. I sought the Lord. I pleaded with my bosses. And for a season, there was nothing I can do, but I tried. You know why I went through that experience? Because he knew I would be a pastor one day and people would come to me with excuses. And I'm going to turn around and say, or have you pleaded with your boss? Have you prayed? Did you come with the ladies before church here on Sundays and said, I got a prayer request. I need a better schedule. Yeah. No. Why not? If Zechariah, you read the first chapter of his prophecy to them. He's like, tell them that I was angry with their fathers. Tell them that I sent prophets to warn them about their evil ways. And remind them that their fathers didn't heed my warnings. Tell them not to do that. Tell them that if they return to me, I will return to them. And that's just the way it is with a lot of Christians today. They don't know why they're so bummed out and depressed and full of anxiousness over their bills, over their car note, over this, over that, over their children, over this. Nothing's working out. Kind of semi-not. But I go to church on Sundays. Yeah, but God knows you ain't even trying to come on Wednesday. And God knows that you know that everyone's meeting for prayer and you're ignoring it. How did I get up here? Who is this man? Who is this man? I don't know this man. But that's just real stuff, you know, right? The reason why it's said, because God wants the work of your hands to flourish. He wants to say, oh, you worked little and I gave maximum. You know, you made a little bit of money, but I made sure your pockets had no holes on them and that lasted the whole month. I made sure your sandals didn't wear out, the tires on your car didn't wear out. And that's why he's saying, is it time for you guys to have your paneled houses and look at my, you know, But that's how he works. Why? Because we were bought at a price, the Bible says. He paid the price on the cross. He loved you and I so much. Our most desperate need was not financially, wasn't a good crops and a good business and good career and house. That's not what we needed. He came because he knew that our greatest need was salvation from our sins, our self-life. And he paid a heavy price. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Heavy price on the cross. So then we're saved by that. And then we do our own thing. And then things don't work out because we still do our own thing. So we're in the business, all of us as Christians, as getting on track and online with what God wants us to do. Then we experience all kinds of blessings. The meal that you are eating. What did God do to this? This is fantastical. Everything is better. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul. He makes our sleep sweet. He makes our home just so restful. He multiplies the blessings. But if we pretend that, was that today? About church stuff? Huh? There are people who, I love them. You know they're here. They don't even look at the schedule. They're not coming. They didn't come last year, the year before. And if you didn't tell them, they didn't go, you know, they're just not going to come. What is heaven about? It's filled with people who want to come. If a person really wants to serve the Lord, nothing can stop them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Psalm 92 says this, verse 13 through 15. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 134, verse 1 says, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. And so, back to our text. So Zerubbabel, verse 2, the son of Shealtiel and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. The prophets were there helping them and encouraging them by the word of God. They were encouraging them by the word of God. God has placed pastors in churches to help, to assist all of us in our spiritual journey. That's why God called us. God anointed pastors to be able to do this, and God, pray for me, but it's God's gifting. He even says it in Jeremiah. He says it throughout scripture, but in Jeremiah, I'm thinking of Jeremiah 3:15-17, right around there. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will give you wisdom. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13, it speaks of just having that respect for those who watch over your souls. God has established that. I only say that now because the prophet's job was to encourage the people in the word. Nothing has changed. Ministers have a job to teach, to encourage, and to warn. You have a good pastor if he warns you. You don't have a good pastor if he doesn't warn you about nothing and this all fluffy stuff. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sugar, spice, everything nice. You want a pastor who's going to be like, you need to change. Amen? Because he's coming. And so anyways, at the same time, Tattenai, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar-Bozniah and their companions came to them and spoke thus to them. Who has commanded you to build this temple and finish the wall? Then accordingly, we told them the names of the men who were constructing this building. And so these guys came, kind of the local mayors, to find out, hey, they heard all of the noise and all of the rebuilding and all the logs and all the stones and everything happening for the temple. So they came to check it out. And they asked, who's participating in this rebuilding? And Zerubbabel gave them the names. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so that they could not make them cease till the report could go to Darius. So though these guys were looking in on them, it says that the eye of the Lord was on the elders, so they couldn't stop them from the work. And that's where we need to be as a church, as individual believers as well. We have to understand that God's loving eye is upon us, that our relationship with Jesus is so tight that no one can stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And no devil, no flesh, no world. Amen. Remember, you know, we're sheep and we're told to be, you know, careful for the wolves out there. But as I was preparing for this, you know, the biggest wolf in our lives is our flesh, which will co-sign with Gavin Newsom that you shouldn't go to church. Your flesh is like, where do I sign? But the eye of their God was upon the elders. And so then a written answer was returned concerning this matter. This is a copy of the letter that Tattaniah sent, the governor of the region beyond the river, which is Euphrates, and Shethar Boznai, and his companions, the Persians, who were in the region beyond the river, to Darius the king. They sent a letter to him in which was written thus, to Darius the king, all peace. Let it be known to the king that we went into the province of Judea, to the temple of the great God, which is being built with heavy stones and timber, is being laid in the walls. Now, when they referred to God as his temple, the temple to the great God, it wasn't that they were followers of Yahweh, but they tried to have respect for whatever deity was in the land. And they believed that that's the name to be, he's to be referred to that way because he's bigger than anything they've ever heard of before, I'm sure, right? And so that's why they referred to him as the great God, which is being built with heavy stones and timber is being laid in the walls. And this work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. And I like that. When we honor the Lord, what you do will prosper in your hands. Psalm 1 says, whatever you do shall prosper. Whatever you do, a plumber, a mechanic, a nurse, a pastor, of anything, whatever you, a homemaker, if you're in the word, in prayer, obeying the Lord, man, you're going to out-bless your neighbors like crazy and then be able to bless them. Amen. And so, and this work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. Then we asked those elders and spoke thus to them, Who commanded you to build this temple and to finish these walls? We also asked them their names to inform you that we might write the names of the men who were chief among them. And thus they returned us an answer saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and completed. But because our fathers provoked the God of heaven to wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this temple and carried the people away to Babylon. I like the fact that they understood why they went into captivity. They understood that though a great king, King Solomon, built the temple, they understood it was their father's sin, their rejection of God's word, that put them in that mess. They acknowledged it was us. It was our father. I don't know why this is. Why is God doing? People, why is God so mean to me? Why am I being punished for this? Some people need to look in the mirror. Could it be because you don't follow him like you should? You want salvation, but you don't want him to be Lord of your life. You like Jesus, Savior, not Jesus, my Lord. You still want to hold on to your dainties and your little temptations and the little hidden sins. You got to give it all up for Jesus because he gave it all up. But these guys understood it was us. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to build this house of God. Also, the gold and the silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple that was in Jerusalem and carried into the temple of Babylon, those King Cyrus took from the temple of Babylon, and they were given to one named Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. And he said to him, take these articles, go, carry them to the temple site that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its former site. Then the same Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. But from that time, even until now, it has been under construction and it is not finished. Now, therefore, if it seems good to the king, let a search be made in the king's treasure house, which is there in Babylon, whether it is so that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send us his pleasure concerning this matter. And so then King Darius issued a decree, and we'll read that next week, but the response is favorable. They look at the records and they find it. They find the record where Cyrus said, yeah, make it. And Darius just says, nobody stop the building. If anybody messes with them, we take some of that wood that they're building the temple with and hang them from it. So he just hardcore, because where God guides, he provides. God can turn the heart of the kings. Don't let any person tell you, I can't because of work. You direct them to go talk to their boss, to pray and fast over it like they really want it. I'm not just going to ask. I'm going to pray and fast. I'm going to throw that on the prayer chain. It's important to me. Does that make sense? Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, and mercy. It's so good. Just thank you for the cross, Lord. It's your love that compels us to rebuild our lives. And I just pray for every heart here and every person that is watching this or going to watch this or listen to it on the radio, we pray for them, Lord, that if they're distant, if they've made excuses, if they're not seeking and knocking, I pray that they would. Holy Spirit, draw us to conviction of sin. Help us not to make any excuses, but to be in your house, your house of prayer. For it is here that we receive instruction from your word, guidance. We can encourage each other. We can protect ourselves from the enemy. But it's when we pull away, Lord. We've seen it time and time again where people lose their love for you. Then they lose love for your people and for your house. And so, Father, we thank you for this place you've given us so we can come and worship you. We pray that you would fill Wednesday nights, fill first service on Sunday, continue to fill second service, Lord. Do a mighty work of your spirit and your grace here for your glory. And while all heads are bowed, if you're here this evening and you would like to get right with God and ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he has spoken to your heart, you're done with with living for yourself, you want to live for God, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so that I can lead you in a prayer asking Jesus to forgive you, to come into your heart, to make you a new creature. Is there anybody here who needs to do that tonight? Father, again, we thank you. We pray your blessings upon your church. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, amen.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.